Hey, what's up? This is Chris Gray, and you're listening to the ZFM Sport Podcast.
And it's Messi! It is the cleanest of clean finishes and the best on the planet.
It's time for the biggest sports stories.
Chelsea, the UEFA Champions League winners of 2021.
The biggest interviews.
That such a great spectacle is ruined by such thuggish behaviour.
And all the analysis right here.
He's the one player that has the arrogance to think that he can play in any stadium in the world and any pitch in the world in front of any player in the world and take them on.
Every weekday, it's my sport, it's your sport. It's ZFM Sport. Let's join the team for the biggest show in the world of sport on ZFM Stereo. My station, your station.
It feels good to be back on radio after over a week away from radio for Barry and Chris. Just a couple of days, but it always seems like a lifetime when you're away and the world of sport is pumping as it was this past weekend. Good evening, Zimbabwe. Your team is in studio and what a show we've got lined up for you on Manic Monday. On the home front, FC Platinum coach Norman Mapeza steered clear of counting his chickens before they hatch after Walter Musona scored at the death to continue the defending champions' march towards a fourth league title in a row following a thrilling 3-2 win against Highlanders at Barberfield Stadium yesterday. In international sports, South Africa's David Miller says that they are feeling really confident ahead of the T20 World Cup this month despite their series loss to India. And in Around the World in 60, we have updates from Australia, the United States and Singapore.
In the Casalago World Football Report, we kick off in the Premier League where Phil Foden says everything clicked for Manchester City as his hat-trick together with Erling Haaland's saw the citizens dish out a Derby Day thrashing to Manchester United, halting any talk of rejuvenation from their rivals with a thumping 6-3 win. In Serie A, Roma defender Chris Smalling said he was pleased to be on the score sheet as his header in the second half helped his side seal a 2-1 victory at Inter Milan. Now, if Chris Smalling scores against you, you're definitely going to lose. And in La Liga, Real Madrid defender Antonio Rudiger says they should have won after Karim Benzema missed a penalty, a late penalty, as Los Blancos dropped points for the first time this season when they were held by 10-man Osasuna 1-1 at the Bernabeu.
The home front. Local sports news and analysis.
Let's give you a local sports news roundup, starting off with some cricket news where Zimbabwe women's under 19 cricket team lost their second match of the Prep series against South Africa by 104 runs at Willowmore Park B Field in South Africa yesterday. Batting first, South Africa posted a total of 179 all out in their 20 overs and Zimbabwe could only manage 75 for 9 in their 20 overs. South Africa lead the 5-match series 2-0. Head over to some rugby news. Matabeleland Warriors dominated the Bulawayo Tennis Side Rugby Tournament. Round one played at Hartsfield Rugby Grounds after convincingly winning all their games. In the first match, Ruben Kempis scored. Coached Warriors overcame Highlanders 12-7 before thumping Bulldogs 24-0 to make it 2 out of 2 wins. The tournament was, however, not short of drama as the fourth team, Old Miltonians, walked out of their fixture against Bulldogs in the second half of the match due to player movement disputes. Little bit wild happening in rugby there. We'll finish off with some golf news. Zimbabwe's young amateur golf team might have missed out on a podium finish at the All Africa Amateur Golf Team Championships in Egypt, but Zimbabwe Golf Association believe there is every reason to be optimistic about the future of local golf. The local team, which was the youngest in the continental competition, played in Egypt's resort town of Algona, settled for 6th position out of the 15 participating nations. The young side was captained by the gifted 16-year-old rising star Keegan Schutte, who overcame food poisoning to finish in a tie for 6th position on the individual board.
From Rufaro to Barberfield, Mandava to Nyamunga, all the perfect moments in the Castle Lager Premier Soccer League come together on ZFM Sport.
The perfect moment certainly came together for Norman Mapeza out at Barber Fields, and he stopped short of counting his chickens before they hatch after Walter Musona scored at the death to continue the defending champions' march towards a fourth league title in a row following a thrilling 3-2 win against Highlanders at BF yesterday. The Platinum Miners also handed Bosa coach Baltimore Brito a second defeat of the season and the first at Barber Fields in his 12 games so far. Let's hear from the victorious coach, Norman Mapeza.
It was a good game of football. If you look at the opportunity we had in the first half, through three good clear-cut chances. But at the end of the day, you know, we've got guys like Tando, they're still young, they're still learning. In the second half, I think our defending wasn't all up to scratch. If you look at the goals we conceded, they're all coming from crosses. You know, that's an area I think we've been working on. And I'm happy at the end of the day, you know, the guys worked so hard, you know, getting that winning goal in the last few seconds of the game. You know, it shows where we're coming from and where we're heading to. And, you know, we are taking the game as it comes. We're not thinking much about the points tally. Now our match focus is on our game against the Rentals. Then we keep moving. We don't want to put ourselves under pressure because of who's coming behind us. But what is important is for us to stay focused, to remain united, to keep working hard, and see how we finish off the season.
Walter Musona scoring a free kick deep into stoppage time, and of course that put paid to any chances that Highlanders had of getting a point from that game and maintaining that brilliant record under Baltimore Brito at Barberfield Stadium. In the studio we have the former Warriors international, former Caps United striker and Golden Boot winner Alois Munjira. Alois, one of the better games that we've watched this season. I mean, it was thrilling, it was entertaining, it had drama, it had controversy, and it had five goals for the fans to enjoy.
Yeah, it was actually a very good advert for Zimbabwean football on the pitch. That is the football that we saw on the day. Yeah, the drama part, and unfortunately, some of it embarrassing. It was not good. But all in all, I think it all made for a good
fine spectacle.
Yeah, it was a spectacle in the end. In the end, you can actually come back and talk about it and like, okay, it was a spectacle. But honestly speaking, I thought that the game lived up to its billing, and we hoped that it was going to lighten up football in Zimbabwe, and it did. You know, live football match, and we enjoyed watching it. And well done to FC Platinum as well, you know, snatching that win
It really wouldn't be unjust for them to win that game. Chris, let's talk about Walter Musona. It's impossible not to talk about him. He scored two goals in this game.
Yeah.
But from a very broad perspective, you've got to say that it's performances like this at this stage of the season that are going to have a lot of, stock in the memory bank when it comes to selecting the soccer star of the year. Because in the second half of the season, when it has mattered the most, Walter Musona has invariably been involved in the good stuff about FC Platinum.
And it's these big games, like you mentioned, that ensure that when that final list comes out, when journalists are sitting down taking a look at the performances that they remember, it's kind of human nature to first of all think of the most recent performances, and also human nature to take a look at those performances. I think that we first of all have a lot more access to. So your games that are played at Barber Fields, at the National Sports Stadium, where there's a lot more visibility, they're live on TV, radio, and the fact that they happen in such a fashion, I think also the way in which these goals are scored, the minutes, I think it absolutely counts. And Walter Musona, it'll be a crying shame if his name is not on that list. And to be honest, it'll be a little bit weird.
Barry, another one, Brian Bunder. I mean, he's been pulling strings in midfield. And Brian Bunder, what he has, he might not have the goals that Walter Musona has, but he's had the consistency from day one.
Yeah, and the thing with Brian Bunder, the man they call Bibiza, is that he's always involved, and yesterday he got himself an assist. He's always involved, if not giving the assist. The penultimate pass before a goal usually comes from Brian Bunder. I think he's working very well in that three-man midfield that sort of rotates for FC Platinum. That we, you know, yesterday I think he had Juan Mutuza in as opposed to Blessing Moyobisto, who was playing on the right at right back. But you didn't see the change because Pahari and Brian Bunder still moved with absolute grace. And I think Brian Bunder makes
it shows
play.
You that FC Platinum is a well-coached side, because I like the fact that you've brought in Barry. You've you talked about the fact that you had Blessing Moyo moved to right back, and of course he was taking Gift Mbwete's place. Gift Mbwete unavailable for this game, but all the players that sort of like slotted into different positions knew how to play there, but just didn't know how to play there, knew how to be effective in those positions.
100%. And conversely, and I'm going to immediately go on to the parallel, you look at Highlanders. I feel that Baltimore Brito got it, Jose Brito got his selection wrong in the first half. I think that Stanley Ngala as a lone top man was a wrong choice. I think that he should have gone with Lionel Chikuwa, who already has
been scoring goals.
He's got a clutch of goals more than Stanley Ngala, so his stats even support the fact that he should have been starting. Instead, he was sat out on the bench. When he came on, what happens? It becomes a game of two halves, because he comes on in the second half. Highlander suddenly seizes control of the game. I say suddenly, but we know why. Because Lionel Chikuwa is very mobile between the lines.
And suits the Highlanders' way of playing.
He's 100%. Ngala is your top man. And if you're going to play a top man, then play like you're playing a top man. They try to play the same way as if Lionel Chikuwa was there.
Well, Alois, you've got to say, with that victory, I remember, I think about 6 weeks ago on the show, we talked about Highlanders being the potential kingmakers, that they could be the ones to derail the title chasing teams. They could be the ones to sort of like delay the title party, as it were. In this case, they failed to do so. Is this the game that sealed the championship for Norman Mapiza's side, and people now just realize it's only a matter of time before it happens?
Yeah, like I say, I think it's all over already. For me, FC Platinum are the champions. To be honest, yes, Islanders tried to do it, but at the end of the day, they failed. They almost did it. They almost delayed a little bit, but they failed. And FC Platinum have, for me, they've won the championship. There's no way. Look, you need a consistent team that is chasing to actually think about them. They can actually go to sleep now. They can actually go and chase their bags and not win anything.
Can I ask you this, though, Alois? I want to stay with you. Did Baltimore Brito and Highlanders show us a way of playing against FC Platinum, especially in that second half? Because what we have seen with the majority of teams that play against FC Platinum, they want to defend, they want to do that low block, they want to play very deep, they want to play on the counter-attack. But Highlanders showed in that second half that you know what, if you take the game to FC Platinum, first of all, you can score goals, which has been very difficult against Norman Mbappé's side, and secondly, you can cause them all sorts of trouble.
Yeah, I've said it week in, week out, Mike, that Highlanders, for me, they look like they are the team that are going to close the gap between FC Platinum and the rest of the teams. If you look at the way they play, if you look at their trajectory, where they are going, you can actually see the improvement that they have made. They've actually closed the gap on FC Platinum. If you watch that game, they've closed the game. Come next season, when it's fresh, when you're starting the season, I don't think there will be 11 points behind FC Platinum. I don't think so.
It's
going to be a very tight race next season with Highlanders. I don't know whether I'm wrong, but I still believe that Highlanders are the team that are going to give FC Platinum a run for their money, or even pip them to the title.
All right, talking about positive trajectories, let's talk about Ngezi Platinum stars and their coach, Tekshua Chiragwe, stressed his side need to keep their motivation level high by consistently winning matches following the impressive 3-0 win over ZPC Kariba at the Baobab on Saturday. Goals from Bruno Mtigo, Chidotenda, Morasiranwa, and Kader Ramin, who is back from the cold, wrapped up a maximum points for Madamburo, who climb up to fourth position on the league table. Let's hear from Ngezi Platinum Stars coach Tekshua Chiragwe.
I would like to thank the players for keeping the momentum, believing in themselves, and they're also playing at home in front of our fans. I think it's very, very important. What motivates the players mostly is to keep on winning. So if you have consistent in terms of winning the games, it will be easy for you when you're going for the next game, because already you've got the motivation of saying you've won the last game. So we need to win the game that we are playing. So I'm happy for them.
Take sure, Chiragwe, there, Chris, sounding very positive, and as he should be.
Absolutely.
Because if you take a look at Ngezi Platinum Stars, they seem to have turned a corner. I know we sometimes hesitate to say that because we don't want to put the markers on it.
I don't want to jinx
but
them.
They look like they've turned a corner because the results are now starting to come and the points are also flowing as well.
Yeah, and what happens with that? Fourth position on the league table, they've had their fourth win in a row. They haven't lost at home for 8 matches in a row. It's looking like this is something that's coming together. Interestingly, with someone who's a caretaker coach at the moment, and we don't know what's going to happen at the end of the season. But just in terms of the end of this season, I think Ngezi Platinum has really shown what they're capable of. And fingers crossed that this project in some way, shape or form continues. Because fourth position, let's say if they do finish the season on fourth, I don't think it's anything to sniff at. And I think that's a trajectory that you want to continue on for next season.
Well, let's stay with that conversation, Chris, because, you know, Tayshaw Chiragwe, he is a caretaker coach. You rattled off a few stats there. And I'm going to throw another one as well, which is the fact that they are the form team right now in the league. If you take a look at the last five matches, they are right there, up there with FC Platinum in terms of points that they've won. But they're actually doing better than FC Platinum because they've only conceded one goal. So there is a body of work that the hierarchy at Ngezi Platinum Stars can look at and say, you know what, we can make a brave call on this guy. Do you take Tayshaw Chiragwe as the permanent coach for Ngezi Platinum Stars at the end of the season?
Take a look at the body of work after the shambles, and I'm going to call it what it was before he was made caretaker coach and they let go of their previous coach. It was a shambles. Ngezi Platinum was not performing. They were sliding down. I think they were sitting in eighth or ninth position on the log table. For me, I think you give the coach who has consistently been there and rescued this team more than once from a shaky position, I think you do give him a chance and you give a timeline to that chance. I think what we've seen from Ngezi Platinum is a bit of a knee jerk. So yes, they will take the risk, but they're not going to stick with a risk and, you know, whatever it brings for very long. So give him the job, but give it a timeline.
Give it a timeline, Barry. When will they actually eventually, Barry, embrace a project? Because there sometimes seems to be the feeling that Ngezi Platinum Stars are really in too much of a hurry to get somewhere. And they keep chopping and changing, chopping and changing. Different philosophies will obviously come through the door when you're chopping and changing coaches. So at some point, they're going to decide, they're going to have to decide that, you know what, let's stick with this. Let's give it a bit of time and see where we end up. Because the last time they actually gave a coach time, it was Twondela Ndiraya, and he finished in second place.
He did, and I think in his tenure won
he actually won the Chibuku Super Cup as well.
So suddenly you've got silverware in the cabinet, and things look like they're going in the right direction. For me, I think if they do take a gamble on it's not really a gamble, but if they do opt for Tayshaw Chiragwe to continue long term, the club has to support him. What do I mean support him? Number one, Kiftun Kaduyira, either he goes back to the development side as the full-time head coach for the development side, or he becomes Tayshaw Chiragwe's assistant full-time. Yeah, he can't do both. That's number one. Number two, bulk out, or at least have a right-sized technical team.
Yeah.
Right now they don't, and it's working, but again, it's they're muddling through it and getting successful. Then the third thing is, I think they need to look at their performance analyst and get a performance analyst who's going to be able to track those players a little bit better. And listen, no slight on the work being done by the guy who's there right now, but right now performance analysis is everything. So I think if they back him with that sort of support, they've got a good chance of success.
Yeah, I want to agree with Barry and Chris at the same time. Both points, you know. Chiragwe has been there for a long time. The players know him. Even the boys that are coming from their development side, they already know him. They know what he wants.
He's been doubling up there
as
well.
He has been doubling as well. So you have got a coach who has got the knowledge of the players. The players know him. So basically, you are not teaching anybody something new.
Yeah.
They already know what is expected of them. So this continuity also helps. And then the about the technical team, they need to build it up, to be honest. Yeah. You know, you cannot have Kiftun Kaduyira going to the juniors, coming back, and they've got the money. They've got the resources. Use the resources. If you want success, use your resources for the success.
Yeah.
Because it won't come if you're trying to do shortcuts and trying to save here and there. They've got the resources. Use it. They've got the potential to actually be a successful team in Zimbabwe.
All right. Tanaka Mutare says Ngezi Platinum is the Chelsea of Zimbabwe in terms of firing and hiring of managers. Let's give you the rest of your castle like a Premier Soccer League match day 29 results. TEDx with a 1-0 victory over Yada. Too little, too late for Tenex. The Basement Boys, Harare City, edging out Black Rhinos 2-1 in a surprise result, that one, especially if you consider Black Rhinos led at 1 point. Chicken Inn thumping Bulawayo City 3-0 in a Bulawayo derby. Herentals and Cranbourne could not be separated. It ended 1-0. Bulawayo Chiefs too good for Wawa 2-0. Caps United 2-1 victors over Triangle. Alois should of course be smelling safety now for Makepe Kepe. Manika Diamonds going down 1-0. Frank Makarati with the goal in the 77th minute for Dynamos. And Ngezi Platinum Stars thumping ZPC Kariba. And of course Highlanders going down to Champions FC Platinum 3-2 Emagomeni. What does it mean? FC Platinum have a comfortable 10-point lead at the top of the table. The fat lady is clearing her throat and warming up in the wings. It's all but done. Dynamos are in third on 53 points. That's 11 points behind. Ngezi Platinum Stars are in fourth. Highlanders are in fifth. And Caps United are in the relative safety of 13th place. But the real thing about it is that they are now 6 points above the relegation zone. That is your Castle Lager Premier Soccer League report. Quick break, turn around, and we talk cricket in our international sport.
From the front of the grid to the back of the net, it's ZFM Sport. International Sports News Roundup, where the world comes out to play.
Let's talk cricket, where South Africa's David Miller says that they are feeling really confident ahead of the T20 World Cup this month despite their series loss to India. Miller's unbeaten 106 off of 47. One of the finest knocks you'll see was in vain as India won by 16 runs in Guwahati or Gujarati to take an unbeatable 2-0 lead in the three-match series. David Miller says losing the series will not affect the Proteas morale for the World Cup. Let's hear from him.
If we have to be harsh on ourselves, you know, with our bowling department, they were really good the previous game, extremely good. And tonight they were just slightly off in a few areas. But if we can just combine those two with the batting and bowling, you know, I think we've got a formidable team that we've been building over the last year and a half. So it's just trying to, you know, align the bowlers and batters at the same game. But saying that, I mean, there was over 400 runs to, you know, on the game. So, you know, I don't want to be too harsh with the bowlers, but I think they were a little bit of lack of execution at times. I mean, a few areas that we can work on, but it is still leading up to the World Cup, so there's still time.
Well, let's take a look back at the game. India posting a mammoth 237 for the loss of 3 wickets after being asked to bat first, with Surya Kumar Yadav standing out with his 22 ball 61. That, of course, tore into the opposition bowling. Khagiso Rabada, Wayne Parnell, Lungi Gidi and Eimrik Nohir gave away 201 runs in their 15 overs combined. Now, Barry, the chase, it was always going to come down to the power play. How you start when you're chasing down 237, or at least attempting to, you've got to get off to a fast start, and South Africa had the worst start.
They were 47 for 3 before the left-handed pair of Miller and Quinton de Kock, and Quinton de Kock hitting 69, of course, put on an unbeaten stand of 174 to give the hosts the scare.
But they were behind the 47, eight ball by then.
47 for 3, you're already behind the 8 ball. So I think that each facet of the game and the statistics you just gave and the one that I gave just show that South Africa, in every facet of the game, were working independently of one another. There was nothing that was working together, because the bowling unit was absolutely woeful. They're abject. 201 in their 15 overs, those bowlers you talked about. And then you look at the batting lineup at the top of the order, looking a bit more like Zimbabwe and less like the Proteas. The top order giving no platform to the rest of the batting lineup. So I think that the Proteas have got problems. I think it's fighting talk that David Miller is saying, we go into the World Cup confident, but it's going to be a tough one.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough one, Chris, especially if you consider their run of form. He's talking big and he's talking great. We expect players to talk like that ahead of World Cup tournaments, but the results over the last few matches that they've played don't point to a side that other sides we're looking at with fear.
At all. South Africa, I think, has been woeful when you take a look at their T20 record. They've only won 4 out of their last 11 T20s. So I think yes, he talks a big game, but even if you're a player going into a World Cup off the back of that record, no matter what kind of performance in the most recent past that you've put up, I think it could be incredibly problematic. I think maybe there's a morale issue there as well. I think a couple of weeks ago, Mark Boucher resigned from his role as Cricket South Africa men's head coach. And I think there's a little bit of a shaking that's taking place there. And morale, just the spirit of the team, I don't think is right. I think Lungi Gidi coming back to captain the side, really cool, but outside of that, I'm not sure what else is going in the right direction for the Proteas at the moment.
George S has got in touch to say South Africa are going to the World Cup. I don't expect much from them because they have always failed to perform well at the World Cup for many years now. So it's not just about the form, Barry. Yeah. It's also the weight of history where South Africa, the Proteas especially, have been classically chokers at World Cup tournaments.
They have. And then
even with better size than this one.
Indeed. And then also, if you look at their lineup, the chances are most of the players that they're taking across to the World Cup haven't got the battle-hardedness to go into a tournament and actually go there and make a fist of it. You look at Temba Bavuma, the likes of your Wayne Parnells, your Anrik Nokia. Yeah, they've been getting game time, but a World Cup is a very different proposition. And so also with the hang-up that Chris just talked about, Mark Boucher, he's seeming like, look, this is after the World Cup, he's done. I don't think you've got the stability that gives you a chance. I really don't.
Right. Let's give you another result from elsewhere. England's Moeen Ali say teams will fear facing England at the upcoming T20 World Cup after their 4-3 series victory in Pakistan. England pummeled Pakistan by 67 runs in the series decided yesterday after a clinical batting and bowling performance. Now, I know a lot of you are waiting to talk footy, but we got a few minutes before we get there. But enough time for us to give you Around the World in 60.
Hi, I'm JC Creel, Springbok and Blue Bulls backline player. You are listening to ZFM Sports.
Around the World in 60 seconds. International sports news.
We tip off in Australia where Asia Wilson scored 19 points and Kelsey Plum added 17 as the United States beat China 83-61 to win their fourth consecutive gold medal at the Women's Basketball World Cup. This was one of the most dominant teams in the American storied history in the World Cup that has now won 11 gold medals. Team USA have now won 4 straight gold medals for the first time ever. And we'll head over to the United States where week 3 of the NFL's headlining game saw Patrick Mahomes throw 3 touchdown passes to lead the Kansas City Chiefs to a 41-31 victory over Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Mahomes had all the answers for solving Tampa Bay's stingy defense, winning his latest matchup against Tom Brady in the stadium where the 7-time Super Bowl winner dealt him one of his most disappointing losses. And in brilliant news, if you're a Mercedes fan, it has been delayed. And I'm talking about Max Verstappen clinching the Drivers' Championship in Singapore. Sergio Perez held off Charles Leclerc to win a chaotic Singapore Grand Prix as Max Verstappen, like I said, was forced to wait to seal the World Championship after finishing 7th. Red Bull's Perez had to wait 2.5 hours for his victory to be confirmed as stewards investigated him for leaving too much distance between himself and the safety car on 2 separate occasions during the race, which also saw 3 virtual safety car deployments. There's a lot to get through, and we're going to talk about that on tomorrow's show. It's probably brought to you by Zimoco.
The Castle Lager Premier Soccer League, La Liga, Serie A, the English Premier League, the Bundesliga. It all comes together with the Castle on the Castle Lager World Football Report.
Time for the Castle Lager World Football Report, 0731 168 045. We might not even need to get into the stories and just read your messages. There'll be entertainment enough. 0731 168 045. Send your WhatsApp numbers through to us. Shall we start in the Australian Premier League, Michael? Maybe.
That will be good, especially for United.
Alright, let's start in England where Bournemouth drew 0-0 with Brentford. Chelsea beating Crystal Palace 2-1, a fantastic winner at the end of Newcastle beating Fulham 4-1. Liverpool drawing 3-3 with Brighton at Anfield, and it required some gumption to do. And then Everton 2-1 winners over Southampton. West Ham 2-0 winners over Wolves, and Wolves then sacked Bruno Lage. They have parted company with their coach, have Wolves, after that defeat to West Ham. And then Leeds United and Aston Villa playing out a nil-all draw last night. Right, Arsenal fans, tune in. Arsenal manager Mikel Arteta says he's happy. He's a happy man after his side's a free, courageous and brave display against North London rivals at Tottenham saw the Gunners register a 3-1 win to stay top of the table.
They were phenomenal. I thought from the beginning we went for it. We had amazing support. We created a great energy in the stadium, and I think we deserve to win the game. And this is our way of playing, but we can attack in different ways. But obviously, this is part of the way we want to play, and especially against this team that is so dangerous on the breaks. You need to be able to control the match.
See. I don't think there was any doubt, Chris, that we'd talk about Arsenal today, given our producers' affinity.
And talk about it first.
But nonetheless, they deserve to be spoken about because they played phenomenal football against a rival that would have made it difficult for them to break through, but they scored three goals.
Yeah, they managed to score three great goals. And I think when you're taking a look at this Arsenal side and just the project that it's been, the type of football that they're playing, and I think coming against a Tottenham side, like you said, that was going to be difficult to break down in the fashion in which they played around them, I think was really, really great. And it's great to see them still sitting at the top after all this time.
Sitting at the top and smiling, Alois. And in truth, Arsenal, Mikel Arteta is a great story to talk about, and we've talked about him ad infinitum because he's sitting at the top. Let's talk about Antonio Conte at Tottenham. And is it sustainable, the sort of football that we're seeing him play, particularly against the better sides? Because he has trademarked himself, certainly in this iteration of Antonio Conte, as an counter-attacking team. And it didn't work on Saturday. Is it sustainable going forward?
I don't think so. I don't think it's sustainable, especially in the EPL at the moment. Counter-attacking football is not working. What is working right now is
spoken as a Manchester United football fan.
Yeah, once in a while. It doesn't work for Manchester United all the time.
Right.
Yeah. Remember, it works for some of the games.
Yeah.
Yes, but not all the time. It's not sustainable. Like I was saying, you need to play front foot football. The teams that are pressing, that are attacking, that want to play, are getting more success. Conte was very successful with Chelsea because he was playing 4-3-3. They were front foot football player team.
They were very dynamic.
They were very dynamic. But now this thing of Conte, I think he watched Spurs before he came. He saw how they were transitioning counter-attacking football with Song and Harry Kane. He wanted to come and adopt that.
It worked at Inter, so I think that he's...
I also want to put the blame squarely on
Antonio Conte. He reminds me a bit of Tundera Indiraya here in Zimbabwe.
in terms of his
approach, Arutika Bora.
Exactly.
Because for me, when you take a look at that Tottenham side, and you take a look at the wealth of attacking talent in that squad.
Yep.
And then the options that he has in that squad. For me, he should be able to set the team up positively.
Yes.
To attack a bit more, to be on the ball a bit more. He should be braver with some of his selections. I don't see how Bissouma, who was one of the standout box-to-box midfielders in the league over the last two seasons, has suddenly become a bit part player because he chooses to go with ball winners.
Yeah.
In the middle of the park. Because surely if you're going to play Bentancur and Holberg, listen, you're not going to get much in the terms of creativity in the middle of the park.
It's not to play, it's to mark.
Yeah. So for me, you've got to at least partner, whether you trust Bentancur or Holberg, partner one of them with a Bissouma in midfield, because he's going to give you that forward pass, that forward thrust, and it's not always going to be counter-attacking football, because what happens with counter-attacking football, as we saw in the two big games this past weekend, when you come up against sides that are set up very well, are structured, organized, and are communicating very well, as we saw with Arsenal and Man City, counter-attacking football is not going to work.
It's not going to work, and if they don't allow you to transition, then you've pretty much got nothing left in your Arsenal, and in truth, you then nullify the threat of players like Kulusevski.
Go brave!
And,
brave.
Yes, got the three attackers that are actually
Kane,
good.
Kulusevski,
Richarlison, when he wants to use him, Perisic.
Richarlison. He can go for three attacking players.
He can use five.
He can even use five.
Remember, we all speculated that he would
possibly go with three in attack at the beginning of the season. Because we were taking a look at the attacking talents, but not so.
Not you so. You can play with Son, Richarlison and Kane in one at one go. But, guys.
So, Antonio Conte, very storied and experienced coach.
So problematic.
Shall we cross over to Manchester, guys, where I think that what we saw yesterday was in some way a violation of the Geneva Convention somehow, because I don't think you're supposed to to abuse a prisoner of war. It ended 6-3 to the blue half of Manchester, which is Manchester City. And Phil Foden says everything clicked for Manchester City as his hat-trick took together with Erling Haaland, saw the citizens dish out a Derby Day thrashing to United, halting any talk of rejuvenation from their rivals with a thumping 6-3 win. Let's hear from Phil Foden's hat-trick partner, Erling Haaland, who was pleased with the win.
Yeah, not bad. We scored 6 goals. What can you say? It's amazing to win home, score 6 goals here, and it's nice. You know, you can feel it all the time. You see the passes we give each other. We always want to go forward. We always want to attack. And this is what I love about the team, first of all. We always want to go and to attack. And, in the end, it's amazing.
Erling Haaland there talking about the fact that the supply that he gets, it's just ridiculous. He knows the players that are around him. But even when you've got good players around you, Alois, you've still got, and I'm speaking from a striker's perspective, you being one of the great ones. From a striker's perspective, even if you've got great players around you, you have to make the right runs. And this boy makes the right runs, oh boy.
Okay, you still have to make the right runs, you still have to execute.
Yes.
You know, you still have to finish them. You know, he is a very good finisher. To be honest, I think he is one of the best finishers I've ever seen in world football.
That third goal
that he got from De Bruyne, the cross that he got at the far post.
Far post.
Not every player can get onto the end of it. Yeah. You know, the bravery of sliding and perfecting the touch
and changing the direction of the ball. Exactly. He didn't just put his leg there. He had to make sure that it
goes back into the goal. It was not an easy goal, but the best one was the cross from Foden, and he was on the run and he just took it with his left. You have to execute. You can make all the right runs and everything. You can have the best supply. But
executes.
If you can't connect, you cannot score. He is just the best finisher. The execution is out of this world.
It's ridiculous. And then, as if to add insult to injury, Chris, and that's not to speak to you as a United fan. I'm just saying that. As if that wasn't enough. He gets 2 assists and assists Phil Foden in 2 of his 3 goals. I love what he said after the game. He was like, no, I just wanted to make him feel what I'm feeling quite regularly, which is how to get a hat. and that just shows that he's not only just a top man who you stick up there and puts it away. He's actually playing for the team.
He's an incredibly dynamic player, and I think that's potentially what we can look forward to in terms of the longevity of his career, is that he's not a one-dimensional player. He's not Mbappe who has one particular thing that he's incredibly that he's really, really good at. And I think watching him, I think, is a thrill globally for fans. Yeah. You don't have to be a Manchester City fan to appreciate the absolute talent that Erling Haaland
is. You could even be a Man United fan.
I think for me, a phenomenal player. But you've got to give credit to that midfield that they have. You take a look at that ball. I know you guys were marveling at the finish.
Yeah.
But for me, I marveled more at the pass.
At the KDB. Delivery.
The delivery. I mean, to be able to pick out the run and then from a deep position, because it wasn't from the byline, from a deep position,
and
be
the
able to cross it, curl it with the right sort of weight to pick out Haaland. And I think KDB, as long as he's fit, as long as he's firing, I think he's going to be the primary reason why Erling Haaland could break a lot of records this season in the Premier League. He is very good. I mean, his eye for a pass, he's operating at a very, very high level. I mean, there are very few players, I think, in the world
that can pick up the sort of passes that KDB picks out.
I want you to also talk about, you talked about the midfield and you talked about KDB, but I truly believe there's an unsung hero in that midfield. And I'm not even talking about Rodri, I'm talking about Bernardo Silva.
Yes.
Bernardo Silva, his ball carrying ability, I think that's what allows
it dismantles Man City to play.
So what they have is that they've got different sort of players, if you notice Man City. They've got Gundogan, who's able to sort of like operate as a deep line playmaker. Then you've got KDB, who operates from wide spaces, is very good on the ball technically. I mean, KDB is the perfect example of a manufactured player who's able to do a bit of everything, has got sufficiently enough skill to do this and that. He reminds me a bit of Steven Gerrard,
to be honest.
Then you've got Bernardo Silva, who's able to break the lines with possession.
Yes.
He's able to drive with the ball, carry the ball, subtract defenders, and get into very dangerous positions. So that's the dynamism of that Manchester City midfield. I mean, it must be a dream as a striker to play with that sort of midfield behind you.
Yeah, it's
very good. I just want to ask a question, guys, about Haaland.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen him offside?
Maybe a couple of times a game.
Very rarely.
In this game, he was not even offside once. The VAR has tried to get him offside. Did you see the way he runs? He never runs straight. And when he picks up speed, when he takes off, he takes off with so much confidence that the player that has got the ball know exactly where to put that ball. I think it makes the lives of midfielders like De Bruyne, Silva, it makes their life so easy because he's so...
He always curves his right.
Yes,
all the time. And then by the time he hits the last line, the pass is just in time that he can finish. 0731168045. That's our opinion of Manchester City. What's yours? Let us know. 0731 168 045.
Oh, this is thanks Mudzimba's opinion. He's out in Goromonzi now. Get your dictionaries, guys, out. And they zone out that premature subterfuge, pulling fast ones over a smattering or morsel of the big six. United are still head and ears in a car wreck, compelled by a sonorous and remugiant Etihad swarm. City ravished and torpedoed United with draconian prejudice, bereaved them of life and sent them to the next life with teasing yet almighty ease. Oh boy, we had a banquet of otherworldly footy.
Putting it all together.
You know, if I was a news editor, I would get this guy to actually just write a column.
Feature 100% every week.
Don't try and get him to be a journalist.
Just get him to write
almost from an sports entertainment perspective.
Yes.
I mean, he'd get a lot of interaction. Captain John Kambarami says, guys, Haaland and Chikara, what a brilliant player this season. Most of the records, Haaland is going to break them. Mark my words, I am sticking to it. I don't think you'll find a lot of people who will disagree with you. Good evening, sports team. You're not pregnant, but you always deliver. Keep it up, says that message. As in Manchester United may be hazardous to health if supported to excess, the operation of machinery of driving after watching Manchester United games is not advisable. Not for persons under the age of 18. As if you support, be responsible, not for pregnant women.
Support at your own risk.
Support at your own risk. Anzi, this one here, as we just wrap up these messages, there's so many that are coming in. Anzi, I think Man U Yagazoita 3-0 lucky Chairo, Anzi, because penalty Yavagapiwa was not even a penalty. You know that match didn't feel like a derby. Anzi, Raito Boa.
Yeah, well, Raito Boa for those possibly who are supporting Red. But in truth, just the footballing tactics, the ability of players on the field certainly made it for an entertaining affair. The Premier League standings are there for Arsenal, stays on top, 21 points. Manchester City hot on the heels on 20 points there in second. And third is Tottenham, sitting on 17 points. Brighton is in fourth on 14 points. In the Europa positions, Chelsea and Manchester United. And then in the conference, the Europa conference position is Newcastle. No doubt that'll change as the season progresses. Tonight, Leicester City takes on Nottingham Forest. Let's go to Italy.
The Nerazzurri, the Black and Blues, Inter Milan.
Barella!
And of all the people, of all the people, Arturo Vidal.
The Giallo Rossi, the Yellow and Reds, AS Roma.
Pedro, he'll have a go! Oh, it scores! Sensational goal from Pedro as Roma double their lead in the derby.
La Viola, the purple ones, Fiorentina.
Great support play, wonderful goal, and Castrovilli 2-2 for him. What a fine breakaway goal from Fiorentina.
The Bianconeri, the black and whites, Juventus.
Ronaldo seals yet another 3 points for Juventus.
Tough yet colourful, the best of Italian football on Z.
Your Serie A weekend results. Napoli 3-1 winners over Torino. AC Milan 2-1 winners over Empoli. Lazio 4-0 winners over Spezia, while Lecce and Cremonese couldn't be separated. It ended 1-1. Monza 3-0 winners over Sampdoria. Sassuolo 2 good for Salernitana. They beat them 5-0. Atalanta 1-0 winners over La Viola Fiorentina. And then Juventus beating Bologna 3-0. But Roma defender Chris Smalling said he was pleased to be on the score sheet as his header in the second half helped his side seal a 2-1 victory at Inter Milan. Football. Here's football pundit Gabriel Marcotti, who says Roma's win is a typical Jose Mourinho win.
There was no Jose Mourinho for Roma. He was in a van with an iPad, apparently, sending instructions from outside the ground. But this was huge for Roma because, if you recall, just before the break, they played Atalanta. They battered Atalanta. They lost 1-0. Jose got sent off and why was suspended today. Roma, I saw, pretty minimalist, dropping Tammy Abraham. He went with Zaniolo, Dybala, and then Pellegrini coming in from behind. And I saw Mourinho, even though he wasn't physically there, I thought this was very much a Mourinho victory, kind of taking advantage of those opportunities that the opposition gives you.
See. Roma beating Inter Milan, and Marcotti there saying that it's a typical Jose Mourinho victory. But for me, I think that Roma at times actually played some good football there.
They do. They're actually a very good side. It's only that consistency is not with them. But I actually believe that they are a very good side. If they're consistent, they keep pushing forward, they can actually challenge for the championship. Mm. They almost did. You know, they almost flattered last season. We thought that they can actually be up there. But I still believe that they can. They have a very capable squad. They can actually push for the championship. Very good side. They play good football. Let's hope that they can maintain that, because we are starved of a different championship win in Italy.
There seems to be a changing of the guard in Italy. But
Man United fans, you know, you were not complaining when Fergie was dominating.
No,
you
were not asking for. No, Fergie. Oh, you know,
different teams in the Premier League.
What Fergie was doing. He wins two and he misses out on one, two. Then he wins another one, then he misses one, then two, three. Yeah,
Can I give you an interesting stat? Can I give you an interesting stat, though, Alois? To support the fact that there's a changing of the guard, there have been, I think, in the last 4 years, 4 different winners of the Coppa Italia. So that's a sign of dominance. Yeah. It's a sign that what you've got is that there are teams that are
on the league. But the last 3 years, Alois, have they not had
different winners?
I think it's two.
No. AC Milan,
COVID,
uh-huh. Inter Milan.
Yeah.
Juventus,
yeah.
Yeah, but that's Juventus.
That's three.
Yeah, but no, Juventus.
Just like English Premier League. So tell me.
So Juventus doesn't count.
Yeah.
Juventus must not get up there. So they must get out.
It's the same thing with England. In the last decade, okay, who's won the league? Yeah. City, uh-huh. Chelsea, Liverpool.
Liverpool, yeah. One of the
same
three.
Thing.
So it's
every league.
It's always
going to
be dominance.
Nah, but you have one winning is 9 times in a row.
But that 9-time winner is now having a few struggles. Hellas Verona takes on Udinese tonight. Unfortunately, we're going to have to talk about La Liga and the Bundesliga as well as France tomorrow. So don't miss out on tomorrow's show because we've fresh run out of time. We'll catch you tomorrow. May God rest in peace. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. Manande out.
It's Messi. Finish.
is the cleanest of clean finishes from the best on the planet.
The biggest sports stories.
Chelsea, UEFA Champions League winners of 2021.
The biggest interviews.
That such a great spectacle is ruined by such thuggish behaviour.
And all the analysis right here.
He's the one player that has the arrogance to think that he can play in any stadium in the world and any pitch in the world in front of any player in the world and take them on.
Every weekday, it's my sport, it's your sport. It's ZFM Sport on ZFM Stereo. My station, your station.
Hi, this is Mike Mundell, and you can catch me and the team for all the latest breaking news out of the world of sport, local as well as international, on your favorite station, my station, your station, ZFM. We are Z Team on ZFM Sport.
ZFM.